Amen. You guys ready for the word? Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Can we give our keyboard player, Carla, a hand? She's been awesome. Awesome. Morning, I want to talk to you about reimagining discipleship. Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 5 gives us a glimpse into the call of the first disciples. They're both different accounts, but Luke 5 gives us more detail than Matthew 4, but I'm going to use both of them because there's some key phrases in there that I want to bring out that jumped out at me. But the disciples had spent all night fishing, and they caught nothing. How many know any fishermen out there, it's frustrating when you catch nothing. And so they had been working all night long and caught nothing, and they were back to shore, and they're washing their nets, they're wrapping up their day from the night shift, and lo and behold, here comes Jesus. He steps, a divine appointment, so happens to step in Simon Peter's boat and says, "Peter, you're not done with work yet. You have another little assignment going on. I want you to push out a little bit. I need to teach these people." The crowds, the Bible says in Luke 5, that were pressing against him, and so he pushes out to shore. He teaches the crowd, and then when he's finished, he tells Peter, "Hey, now it's time. We're going to go launch out in the deep." I'm sure Peter was thinking, I just put in a 10-hour night, a 12-hour night, whatever it may be. Jesus, I'm done. We just finished washing our nets. Jesus, I'm done with the deep. We didn't catch anything. How do you know you got to listen to Jesus? Simon Peter says, "Nevertheless," everybody say, "Nevertheless, at your word." At your word. Everybody say, "At your word." And so, cast your net on the other side. You guys might have heard this story. They get a great catch. They come back in. The nets are breaking. And I don't know all the events that happened, but this I know, when Jesus said, "Follow me," Matthew says they left their nets immediately. Luke 5 says they forsook everything. They forsook everything and followed him. And my question for us today, as we head into this message called Reimagine Discipleship, my question is, does the call to be a disciple we see in the modern day church cause us to drop our nets? Does it cause us to drop our nets? And I want to challenge us with the question again, asking the Holy Spirit this morning to speak to us prophetically about reimagining this area in the church. What will it take for us to drop our nets once again? The big idea that I want to talk to you about this morning is that discipleship, it's in your notes, is the calling of every believer. Everyone say every. Every believer. A lot of times you will hear that everyone is a leader. And I'm not going to frown on that. I'm going to get to that a little later. But listen, you must first, listen, Jesus calls us all to be disciples. He calls us all to be followers, and how many know good followers will make good leaders? Discipleship is the calling of every believer. Matthew 22:14, we find the parable of the wedding feast, and we've heard this phrase a lot of times, "For many are called, but few are." We all heard that verse, but what does it mean? If you read that parable, everyone who the king invited to his son's wedding the first time, it says they were not willing to come. It says they didn't take them seriously. They were not willing to come. And then he sends out his servants a second time, and I'm summarizing here, and he sends out another invitation to everyone. Everyone say everyone. And it says they made light of it, and they went on their way. And then he sends them out a third time, and he tells his servants to go out into the highways and byways, and as many as you find, tell them they're invited to the wedding hall. The wedding hall now is filled with guests, and the king comes now to see who all is in attendance for his son's wedding, and he notices someone that said yes to the invite but ignored the dress code. And what happens is this person that comes to the wedding that said yes to the invite but no to the dress code gets cast out into utter darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many know that seems harsh, right? If you showed up to a party and you weren't dressed like you were supposed to, how many know that's a little harsh, right? But this is what I want us to catch this morning. If you accept the invitation of discipleship, or if you accept any invitation on that matter and show up to the wedding, don't show up like you were the third choice. You guys hear what I'm talking about? Many are called, few are chosen. Again, three invitation blasts went out. The wedding hall is filled with guests. If you accept the invitation and show up to the wedding, don't show up like you were the third choice. Show up like you were chosen. Listen, we got to show up like we're supposed to be there. We've got to show up like we were on the VIP list. Have you ever got called last minute by a friend to an event and you knew you weren't their first choice? Anybody besides me? You got that call last minute to the Kings game, right? And you knew you were about third or fourth on the list. But listen, you said yes to those tickets anyway, right? You said yes to and you didn't walk into Golden State One and just say, hey, everybody, I'm third choice right here. You didn't do that. No, you showed up like a VIP. You didn't know they were front row seats. You just sat right. You said, yeah, I got these seats, that's right, and paid for them too, and you're lying, right? You didn't show up like you were the second choice. You showed up like that was the plan all along. You see, many are called. Many are invited. But few RSVP like they are chosen. And I believe our approach to discipleship as we reimagine discipleship and headed into 2019. Listen, we've got to show up, church, like we're chosen. Like we've been picked out. Listen, it doesn't matter what your career is, what the sphere of your influence is, where you live. Jesus invites you and I to show up and be prepared to become a disciple. Jesus invites every one of us to be a disciple, but few will drop their nets. Few will leave everything behind. Few will say yes and live as though they are chosen. I believe God is saying, don't live like Jesus didn't pick you. No, he invites everyone who will say yes and drop their nets. How are you ready to drop your nets in 2019? Ephesians 1:4 says, and this isn't on the screen, you guys. This was an early morning download. Even as in his love, he chose us. Everyone say, he chose us. Actually, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, actually picked us out for himself as his own. In other words, listen, you're not a second choice, a third choice. No, when you say yes to Jesus, when you say yes to following him, listen, you're his first choice. He chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world. A disciple, a simple definition is this. This is in your notes, a follower, a learner, a student of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I've realized in my 20 plus years of being a Christian is that you never graduate from being a follower of Jesus. Amy and I graduated from a 2-year discipleship school called Genesis Discipleship Training Center, and we didn't know, we were brand new Christians, so it was like, man, is this what, you know, being a Christian is all about? This is awesome. It was like being in a pressure cooker, like, you know, for two years and just coming out the other side of that 2 years just kind of like with a strong foundation. There was teaching and inspired instruction. There was revelation knowledge, the Holy Spirit. We were taught how the Holy Spirit illuminates his word. And then there was life application. How many know you got to do something with the revelation? You've got to do something with the revelation. And so there was mandatory. We had to serve 3 hours, a church in our community, for 3 hours every week. We had to walk out what we were learning. And then we lived in a community that was committed to becoming disciples. In 2 years, you guys, I had 21 different roommates. Yeah. 21. How many know God uses people in your life to become more like him? 21 different people. But when we graduated from Genesis in 1991, how many of you know that's when we really started learning? That's when we really started following, because there's a school called life, amen? You see, following Jesus, following the Holy Spirit, following spiritual mentors is foundational in our walk with God. It's nothing you grab. There's always different levels. There, every place that the Lord has led me to minister or the community that I'm living in, he always brings people in my life that are pouring into me in during that season. It might be an older man that's just pouring into me. It might be a family that's pouring into us, Amy and I, as a couple or as a family. But we've never graduated. We've never said, you know what, we're good. We've arrived. We are on top of the followership model. Acts 2:42 says, and they steadfastly persevered. How many know we have to persevere to be disciples? It says, and they persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. Now, we use that verse a lot for small groups, but it's really a discipleship verse. You see, the scripture's not just for small groups. It's powerful principles for living as a disciple. How many know what an apostle does? What does he do? An apostle burns a trail. He lays a foundation. We need apostolic teaching, listen, so that we can build our house on. We need God's men of God and women of God speaking into us so what we build, listen, doesn't crumble. This is in your notes. Discipleship is a lifelong process, not just a class. Notice I said not just a class, because I'm not against classes. Discipleship is a lifelong process, not just a class you complete. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. How many could use a little more reflection in your life? You want to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus a little more. It says, we're being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the Passion Translation. You see, as we reimagine discipleship in 2019, I believe God will begin to reveal there are new levels of glory for each of us. In other words, we haven't arrived. I don't care how old you are in the Lord or how young you are in the Lord. There are new levels of glory in 2019 for you and I and for us as a church family to experience together. All right, I got to the first four rows. All right, all right. Last week, perfect example. We hit our worship leader, Tracy, who was leading us. All of a sudden, we start breaking out and dance. Well, I've been here 18 months. Ain't nobody danced around here. Come on, but how many know when the Spirit of the Lord, come on, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Listen, there is a new liberty that God wants to give real life in worship. And listen, don't let us sit back and go, you know what, that's just not me. No, get your Holy Ghost two-step on. Just try something a little bit, you know, and then if you want to maybe do a little spin or something. Listen, I'll just tell you this right now. Listen, there is power. There is power when you do something you don't want to do. That your mind will say, you know what, that's just for the young ones. That's just for the youth. I'll tell you what. You allow the Lord to put a little dance in your step. Come on, you'll leave here. You'll leave here set free. You'll leave here with a new outlook on life. Come on, you'll let the Spirit of the Lord get on you. Come on. You say, Pastor Dean, I don't got no rhythm. I don't care, you know. You see, in our Western culture, discipleship has become a teacher-centered model where teachers are the main authority figure. They are the experts, and students are viewed as empty vessels who passively receive knowledge from their teachers through lectures and direct instruction. You know, I've been in college. I've been, I attended junior college. I attended Bible college. I attended discipleship. You know, there are teachers out there who are experts, who are professionals, teaching business that never ran a business. There are professors telling you how to plant a church that never planted churches. I went to one class. I actually challenged the professor. I said, do you know that the book that we are reading about how to pastor a church was written in 1970? He said, it doesn't matter. He said, that's the text for the class. I'm just saying that's not okay. We're trying to listen. In other words, we're teaching students, and this is 2006. We're teaching students in 2006 a way of doing church that is irrelevant. And so I said, do you know how many good books there are on pastoring and church planning? Oh, that's the way it is, you know? We've got to be willing to reimagine discipleship. The format today is lecture, formal authority, experts, and it's a scripted model. And I believe this has produced a dysfunctional discipleship that doesn't reproduce followers. And if our modern-day discipleship is not producing good followers, we for certain won't be raising up and releasing any good leaders. So how do we reimagine discipleship, real life? How do we reimagine discipleship in such a way it causes us to once again drop our nets? My first point in your notes is we have to move away from a personality-centered model to Christ-centered models. You think that this was a modern-day thing that I'm talking about, but this was actually a struggle in the Corinthian church in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 to 13, Paul is saying, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. My dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or listen to this, the one he throws in right here, or I only follow Christ. Verse 13, has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? He says, of course not. You see, let's not leave discipleship. My challenge to us today is that God is raising up disciplers within our congregation. Listen, we don't have to only depend on high-profile personalities to teach us. Some of you, listen, God has called you to be a teacher. God has called you to be an instructor. God has called you, and yet we lean on these, and there's nothing wrong with it. Just hear my heart for a second. I'm just saying it stunts our growth because we lean on it. We use it as a crutch because we don't want to do the work, so we'll use somebody else's stuff because we don't want to do the work to create it ourselves. Again, nothing wrong with this. I'm just talking about us growing and us leaning into it. You see, it's easier for me, right? Because I could go on the internet, right, and get a canned sermon. Oh, yeah, I could buy them for $69.95, four-week series all day long. It just makes my life easier, right? But no, I want to get to know God more. And listen, I want to bring you some fresh bread. I want to bring you some fresh bread. Now, there are times I get help, I get input, I'll get a series idea from here and there, but I'm not bringing you like manuscripts from some other church. My heart, I want to be speaking what God is saying to us as a body. Let's not leave discipleship to the high-profile personalities of our day. Let not spiritual pride deceive us into thinking that we are better or more enlightened than others. Hello. He said, these are for the people that say, I only follow Christ, brother. Right? You ever had someone say that to you? Right? They say, I only follow Jesus. You know, whatever. I have had people say that to me, but anyway. No. As a church, let's take on discipleship as our responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Responsibility. It's a responsibility. The Great Commission is all about this. Did you know that? Jesus said, let's go and make disciples. He commanded us to do it. Let's take on discipleship as our responsibility to do all we can do. Listen, to produce great followers. How many know, if you call yourself a leader, you guys heard me say this before, and nobody is following you, you're just going for a walk, right? That's a John Maxwell saying, right? Learned that a long time ago. And yet, in 2019, I'm just telling you, maybe you say, you know what, I don't know how to build a team around me. I don't know how to influence people so that I can not do all the work by myself. In 2019, we are going to equip you to do the work. Leads me to my second point. We have to shift from just lectures. Notice I said just lectures. I'm not against lectures. Come on. All right. Thank you. We have to shift from just lectures and an exchange of information to life exchange with the goal being life transformation. You see, here's the key. It's both and. Everybody say both and. It's lecture and information, and then you have to have life application. It would be like people signing up for Ron Cowa's class, Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, incredible class that we'll be offering in 2019 once again, and you learning all about it, and you say, these are great principles, but never doing anything with those principles, right? It's just information, right? Until you actually go home and make a budget, right? That's when it becomes application, and that's when life transformation happens, and then you get to stand up in this class and say, I'm debt free, right? It's a both and. How many of you know your life is a lecture? See, your life is teaching someone whether you know it or not. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. You do not have many mothers, if I might add. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Listen, if I asked you the question, who are your favorite preacher teachers? Most of you could give me a long list, right? I could give you a long list. Jensen Franklin, right? John Gray. You know, I could give you a list of people. But the hard question that we have to answer is not only what's been taught, but what's been caught. And listen, fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers, listen, they model the life for us. They don't just instruct us, they teach us, they show us. They don't just tell us, they show us. How many know that's important? You see, today's lecture model of discipleship, I believe, has produced orphans, not sons and daughters. I was a fatherless Christian my first 9 years of my faith. I noticed this right away of people that had kind of a, I didn't have no word for it back then, but it was kind of like they had an advantage or an edge, if you will, because they were connected to a spiritual father. I was kind of born into maybe just a lecture model, right, where you looked up to the person on the stage, and that was it, and that was my experience, and that was the limit to my exchange. I was a fatherless Christian for 9 years, and four of those years were spent on staff at the church, at the same church. I only went to our senior pastor's home once, And that was to help him move and say goodbye because we resigned. Let's not just settle. Come on. Let's just not settle. Come on, for the lecture model. Come on. Let's in 2019 do something where our lives are exchanging life. Changing things. Come on, we're taking information and listen, we're working it out together in Jesus' name. Come on, come hell or high water, we're working it out so that it will transform our lives. Leads me to my third point. We have to transition from formal authority to an exercised authority. Matthew 20, verse 25. Are you guys still with me? Thought the smoke might be getting to you already. All right. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, I love this verse. This just popped out at me as I was studying. But among you, it will be different. Everyone say, it will be different. It will be different. Say it again. It will be different. It doesn't have to be the same-o. It doesn't have to be the same as they do it over there or across the street. He said, among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your what? Servant. You see, here's the key, and this is something we have to catch going into 2019, because the Lord is going to stretch us. I'm just going to tell you, the Lord is going to put things in front of us that's going to take us. We're going to have to exercise the authority that he's given us. You see, Jesus didn't abuse his authority, he gave it away. And if you and I, how many know if you and I don't exercise the authority that he's given us, we will lose it. I heard it put this way one time in a class I was taking. If you don't use the authority that's been given to you, it can and will be used against you. Luke 9:1 says, one day Jesus called together. Here's an example. This is the life of Christ. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal what? Oh. How we know if we're not exercising our authority, come on, we don't get to that point. We don't see these kinds of things happen. If all we do, listen, come in here, you listen to me, right? You expect me to do all those things and you don't exercise, what happens to you? Nothing, right? Right? But if together, right? If together, just take this week for example, together, 116 of us go, right? And now, listen, we have a revelation, listen, that I'm not just welcoming the stranger, I'm just not putting food on the table, I'm not just serving the least of these, but no, actually what I'm doing are prophetic acts that are going to create supernatural opportunities. And now I'm going to, listen, when God opens that door, come on, now I'm going to step into it and I'm going to exercise something he's given to me. How many know that's when we see life change? So many times, listen, I've went on missions trips, I've done outreaches like this, and I walk away disappointed because it felt like I just did what everybody else could do. Or let me just say this, anyone else could do. What's the difference maker in it? The difference maker is somebody exercising their authority, come on, walking in authority that Jesus gives them. Listen, they see opportunity, they exercise the authority, and they see life transformation. That's what God has for us. Listen, I know we could be doing 100 different things this week, but I'm telling you, if we will just dare to ask God, dare to believe God for something grander, listen, than just feeding 500 people, I'm telling you, he will do it. He will do it. We will see miracle testimonies. I've heard miracle testimonies of people who have actually lost their minds and now they're preaching. I've heard this over the years. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, all those great testimonies. And how many know God can do that right here? But listen, it's up to a people that says, you know what? It's not about formal authority. It's about walking in my authority. Leads me to my fourth point, and I'm giving you five ways to reimagine discipleship. We have to change from a dysfunctional model built around experts to a model built around examples. I got this definition of expert. It's one who knows more and more about less and less until he knows absolutely everything about nothing. In church world, I've just learned over the years, everyone is an expert except the pastor. I'll just leave that with y'all. Philippians 3:17, Paul says this. He says, brethren, join in following my expertise. Is that what he said? What did he say? Join in following my, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a what? Pattern. Greg and Wendy Seamus. Jim and Gloria Argue. Leroy and Gene Dillon. Ray and Janet LeBlanc. Mark and Kathy Tucker. Those names probably mean absolutely nothing to you. But that is a list of men and women who lived their lives before Amy and I over the last 25 years, who poured into us, who invested in us, and even when times got tough, pointed us to Jesus. My life was changed because of selfless men and women of God who lived their life before us, not as experts, not just telling us, but actually showing us. True shepherds who dared to step off the platform and get dirty with the sheep, get smelly. How many know get the smell of the sheep on them, you know? To walk among the people, change my life, transform me. Remember Pastor Mark, he really taught me boundaries in ministry. I was one of the guys, you can ask my wife, she reminds me from time to time. I was one of those guys who liked to burn a candle. Burn a candle, man. But he taught me boundaries and how to protect my family. Pastor Mark has the most incredible stories you ever heard. And he's telling one story about, Ray, his kids are awesome. One's a pastor, the other's training for ministry, and then he's got a senior, and they're all involved, and this was modeled before us, and I'm like, I want kids just like that, and I'm going to do everything he told me to do. And so he gets up, and he tells a story one time that it was after church on a Sunday. And so they were all going to go like they normally do on Sundays to a restaurant. They were going to go to something like Applebee's. And so they announced it. They were on the way. Him and Kathy said, we're going to Applebee's. And out of the back, the three kids said, we don't want to go to Applebee's. I don't want to go to Applebee's. And Pastor Mark's telling the story. He said, you don't want to go to Applebee's? He said, no. They pulled in the parking lot, got out. He said, you guys don't want to go to Applebee's? We don't want to go to Applebee's. He said, fine. We're not going to go to Applebee's. Actually, we're not even going to go to lunch. We're going to go home and eat peanut butter and jelly. Oh, we want to go to Applebee's. He said, nope, it's too late. We're not going out to eat. We're going home. And so they did. And I said, that is a great idea. I'm going to try it. So one night, after a baseball game, it was late. We got on the freeway there at Watt Avenue, and we're like a burrito-eating family back then. We went to Chipotle like too much, like 3 to 4 times a week, right? We're that family, I know. And so I go, we're going to go get a burrito. And Josiah piped up and said, burrito? I don't want no burrito. I said, you don't want no burrito? I don't want a burrito. We have burritos all the time. I said, that's fine. We're not going to get a burrito. In fact, we're going to go and we're going to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I want a burrito. My kids are crying. We're not having a burrito. We're going home. I drove past the taqueria. Oh, man, It was like death sentence. The problem is, I didn't let my wife know that I was going to do this. And I turn on our street and she says, "You're really going to do this?" She said, "I want a burrito." That's how it goes down sometimes, right? We didn't get a burrito. But I let Amy go and get one. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." I love what the other translation says. "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of faith." That's the NLT. The Passion says, "Don't forget the example of your spiritual leaders who have spoken God's message to you. Take a close look at how their lives ended." The Voice says it this way: "Listen to your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. Notice the fruits of their lives and mirror the faith." Mirror their faith. Leads me to my fifth and final point. We have to move away from scripted models to spirit-empowered models. Some of you have been wondering what's been taking us so long. And I just got to tell you, as a pastor of this church, I've just been asking God, "God, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it?" See, God spoke clearly to Amy and I that what he's desiring to do at Real Life is not going to be scripted, but spirit-led. The Lord told us from Bishop Tony Miller through a prophetic word that the Lord was giving us our own model. You see, we've got to move away from scripted models to spirit-empowered models. We need model disciples who practice the 5 habits of healthy believers that we believe will produce the 8 outcomes we're going after as a church: to love God, not just to love God on a Sunday, but to love God personally and intimately, to learn empathy, to learn to walk in one another's shoes, to live abundantly. That has nothing to do with just finances, but living in the abundance of who he is, his love, his grace, his goodness, his mercy, to live in the abundance of us, to lead humbly, and then to lift humanity. You see, the unhealthy trend in the church today, I believe, is the overemphasis of becoming a great leader before you become a great follower. How many know we need both? Pastor Jesse is going to talk about reimagining leadership next week. I'm not frowning on leadership, but I think as a whole, our culture frowns on the idea of discipleship. The idea that if I'm following, somehow I'm less than someone who is leading. We've even said things like this: "Everyone's called to be a leader." I would say it differently. I would say, no, everyone's called to be a follower. And how do you know great followers make great leaders? That's what Aristotle said when he said, "He who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader." I believe being good followers actually qualifies you for leading in the kingdom according to Jesus. And in 2019, we're going to build up passionate followers into next level leaders that this church needs. Listen, we need good followers. Come on, because good followers produce good leaders. Are you guys with me? And right now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to cast some vision. Right now, we need a minimum of 30 leaders. Some of you have been following Jesus. You've been following for years. You've been serving. You've been faithful. But God's calling you to leadership. And right now, I could just tell you, we need a minimum of 30 leaders just on Sundays to take this church to where God wants us to go. You see, before the end of the year, we're going to be introducing you to our 2019 calendar that's going to help shape and shape our emphasis on discipleship and leadership development in 2019. We're going to partner with other ministries. I'm going to be making announcements over the next few weeks. We're going to partner with other ministries to get equipped in exercising our authority in Christ. How many ready to go to the gym? Come on, how many ready to get equipped? How many ready to stop talking about it, hearing about it, and actually doing some stuff? Seeing people delivered, seeing people healed, seeing people saved. Come on, seeing radical conversions, people coming to Christ through your life. Come on, not just on a Sunday, but through your life. How many know where you're at? That's where the harvest is at. We're going to be introducing connecting points. It's what I'm calling the RLC's new version of small groups focused on Bible studies, discipleship, personal interests, and fellowship. Wednesday nights, I'm really excited about this. Starting January 9th, we're going to kick off again like we did last year, what I'm calling this year the Edify Conference. The Edify means to build up. How many know we got to build up so we can break out? We've got to break out of the molds that we're in. And so I'm bringing in voices. Pastor Ron Carpenter is going to be here on January 9th to kick us off. Sean Smith will be here on the 16th. Bishop Tony Miller will be here on the 23rd, and Pastor Tamara Bennett will be here on the 30th, speaking prophetically to us as a church and as a region. Amen? Can I take the pressure off you today as we reimagine discipleship? Can I? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Listen, let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus decide. Let Jesus open the door. Let Jesus teach you. Let Jesus show you. Let Jesus set you free. Everybody say, follow Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor now, say, follow Jesus. Dale Carnegie said, the ideas I stand for are not my own. I borrowed them from Socrates. I swiped them from Chesterfield. I stole them from Jesus. And if you don't like their ideas, whose ideas would you rather use? You see, reimagining discipleship, the idea of following, is not my idea. It was Jesus' idea. And it's the kingdom way. See, you can study the greatest leaders in history, and they all have one thing in common. They first followed someone great. How many know we have an opportunity as Christians to follow the greatest person that ever walked this planet? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The great Athenians, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Plato was the prized student of Socrates, and the famous Aristotle was the student of Plato. Matthew 10:38 says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Church, I want to ask you, can we reimagine discipleship in such a way in 2019, listen, that it would cause us to drop our nets, to leave everything behind, and pursue a life? Come on, I believe he's daring this church to live. Will you stand with me as we close? I believe the Holy Spirit's just been speaking to some of you. But just with your hands raised as the Lord would lead you, you would just say, Lord, I'm all yours. Lord, I've come this morning. Lord, I lay everything down at your feet. God, I've come carrying some things, God, and I just want to cast them at the foot of the cross. Lord, I want something in 2019 that's going to cause me to drop the nets, to forsake everything, to follow you. Lord, with everything that I have, mind, body, soul, and spirit, God, everything that I have is yours. Can we just make that pledge to him? Lord, as I'm getting ready, God, even this week as we're getting ready, come on, to reimagine the holidays together, to welcome the stranger, to feed the hungry, to serve the least, God, that you would do something supernatural to a people, God, that has abandoned themselves at the foot of the cross, and say, God, I will follow you. I will do what you tell me to do. I will go where you call me to go. Lord, I want to step into that authority. I want to exercise the authority that you've given me. Lord, I don't want to lose it. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, just fall fresh on your people today. Lord, as we go, God, I pray that you would empower them by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that as we look, God, to the end of the year and as we step into 2019, God, something would shift in our lives. Lord, to not live nominal Christian lives, but a radical Christianity, God. A radical Christianity, God, that demonstrates the kingdom power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, can we just give the Lord praise? Hallelujah.